My wish for you is that 2023 is the year that you finally see the improvement you've worked so hard to create. And Yelp for Restaurants is here to help. This year, we're launching new tools and programs to make this year your best year. In addition to the content you already love, we're launching a marketing series packed with actionable worksheets. We've got monthly webinars focused on the best business strategies out there. And as always, Yelp offers best-in-class software to help you optimize your restaurant and maximize your profits. See everything Yelp for Restaurants has to offer by visiting restaurants.yelp.com today. Welcome to Restaurant Marketing School. I'm Josh Copel, a Michelin-rated restaurateur. Together with industry expert Anthony Hamilton, we're unpacking the tactics, tools, and strategies used by million-dollar marketing agencies to improve your restaurant. Join us daily to get an actionable tip you can use in your restaurant today. Today we're talking about how to improve costs when you can't raise prices. So I want to start like foundationally here. How do you know as a restaurant owner or operator that you can't raise prices anymore?
Well, yeah. And let's rewind to the beginning of the pandemic. This is the best time to be a consultant, right? And everybody's like, I don't know what to do. And for me as a consultant with the independent realm, it's like, raise your prices. It's easy because I know you guys are all underpriced. And the beautiful thing is they all listened, right? Everybody raised their prices finally because supply chain deemed it necessary. And now we're at that point where you hit that thing called market elasticity, right? Which you're probably familiar, most listeners are. And that's the point of where you raise your prices to the point where the elasticity of your customer spend stops and it starts affecting your volume. And now all of a sudden you raise your prices to a point where your repeat diners still enjoy you, but they're coming less because there's more of a spend per visit. So that's that point where you hit that elasticity or that breaking point, right? That's how you know when your volume starts suffering. And you hear a little more clamoring. Now, listen, don't listen to all the clamoring. But when you hear like the broad spectrum clamoring, now all of a sudden you might have a problem with pricing on your hands. You've gone too far in that direction. And we're starting to see that quite a bit now. And you're seeing it in certain aspects of the business where the competitive advantage now is a race to the bottom in pricing, especially exactly. In the middle of a restaurant, the family restaurants, the value-driven concepts. Bring back that 50-cent wing night, right? Because that's what's going to drive your revenue. That's what's going to drive business. It's weird how it flips, but it does.
And so how do you improve costs when you can't raise prices?
Yeah, well, again, look inward, man. Let's take a look at what you're doing from a business perspective. I heard something from an operator the other day, and I was absolutely astounded by this. The chef, and I heard it secondhand, the chef was midstream, and the server was talking about doing like a table of six had walked in or something, and the chef's like, nah, we're closed. And it was like two after closing. Now, me personally, I would have taken that table in, but the chef legitimately looked at this manager and said, you know, we've done enough sales for the day. We're good. Right. And I'm just thinking, like, who in their right mind is doing enough sales? So my first thought is if you can't raise your prices to affect your food cost, you can't trim any more staff because you're already borderline like shrinkflating your process. The thing is, you got to affect that metric somehow. And what I know is that labor percentage is a proportion of sales. So first thing I want to do is raise sales. Right. And that seems easy on the surface. Oh, yeah, we're just going to raise sales like some miracle. Right. But you and I have talked about this extensively in the past when you were on Restaurantopia and we did this gig before, is that we start driving little initiatives, granular initiatives amongst our sales team about the raising 3%, get that extra cup of coffee, or as you call it, the perfect meal, right? So you set the template for these individuals, then you incentivize it and say, listen, we're only trying to get one cup of coffee, one dessert from all of you on every table. And you think about that hike, maybe it's only 3% or 4%. But damn, if that's every server, every table, now all of a sudden you're looking at your year-end numbers are 4% higher. That's one way to do it. Your labor percentage is a function of that. So it goes down, your profitability increases, period, right?
100%. Look, I think that salesmanship can cure almost all of our woes. And I think it starts with line-level employees and making sure that they're selling, not taking orders. And then I would say the other side of that is increasing customer frequency.
Yeah, there's no question, man. There's no question. So make those table touches count, right? Like, make sure they're engaging. Don't just do the obligatory one foot out the door, how's everything taste? I'm on my way to the next table, right? Like, really spend time and develop relationships with those people. Because as the independent operator, you are maybe the owner or the GM. Obviously, you carry clout if you're stopping by the tables. Customers lap that up like a kitten does milk, man. They love that stuff. And it's that relatability, that connectivity is going to keep them coming back for more.
How else can we cut costs?
So I look at not necessarily cutting costs, but building price, right? So I'm not just saying raise price, I'm saying build price. When you have an item on the menu that's it's a decent seller, you know, let's say a burger, for instance, right? You got a bacon cheeseburger, or you're never going to take that off. Let's say you got a cheeseburger on and you can't raise your price anymore. How about removing that item adding value to it, and then putting back on the menu at an increased price. Let's say it's a cheeseburger. Can you add bacon and avocado to it, right? And get two, three more bucks out of it. Those little tricks go a long way. And listen, the burger example may be a bad one, but I think you hear what I'm saying here is maybe it's that pasta with the tagliatelle with the capers and lemon. Maybe you shave a little Bottarga on top of it. You do a $5 add-on or a $7 add-on. Those little tricks, again, we're talking very granular stuff, but they add up at the end of the day, man. You know, and yes. Go ahead. No, please, after you.
No, you go, please.
I want to transition into two. Like, let's look at your internal metrics, man. You know, when I was in fine dining, we had the liberty of not having to watch our costs as closely because our customers just weren't sensitive to price, right? Like, they didn't care about $32 versus $36. But look at your portioning, look at your internal systems that you're doing and making sure, again, at that granular level, that your cooks and your servers are doing what they need to do penny by penny to make sure that your profit's protected. It could be as simple as making sure your fillets are all 8 ounces or your halibut's all 6 ounces, whatever the case may be. I know that seems silly. And I know a lot of restaurateurs are like, yeah. But guess what? A lot of folks aren't doing it, Josh. They're not. I see it every day.
Oh, it's the boring stuff, right? That's how you make money. You make money off the boring stuff, the tedious stuff, the repetitive stuff.
You so do. Things like the block and tackle, like costing out your menu or doing a menu engineering worksheet on it, taking the emotional out of your decision-making process, right? Looking pragmatically at the data and determining which dishes on your menu are high performers, which aren't high performers, why they're not high performers, and getting rid of the ones that are just wasting space and not driving your profitability. There's a lot of restaurants out there that have that bottom 40% of their menu that's mom's favorite or it's Bob's go-to dish or whatever the case may be. But you're selling enough of those dishes where they're eroding your profit margin compared to the higher performer dishes on your menu. So sometimes you got to do that boring stuff. You got to look at the data. And in hospitality, that's not our bailiwick. I get it. But the fact is, you got to do it, man. So you got to hire someone like myself to come out and take care of it for you. That's not a plug. I can't make it to California, but I'm just saying sometimes you need some objective perspective, man.
For sure. If you want to hear previous episodes or check out our other content, go to restaurants.yelp.com/marketing school. Thank you so much for listening to the show. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. While you're there, please leave us a review. I'm Josh Koppel, and you've been listening to Restaurant Marketing School.